And you know, as we are studying the mystery of godliness, if we look at the way I was just learning, sometimes it don't look good to the world. It look to the world is just like something is ordinary. And I want to explain the video. These are the people from the congregation that God have given to me in Pakistan. Real people, not the actors, and that is their daily life of in Pakistan. So the first person you saw, that is the job for a believer in Pakistan to be a sweeper. And they wake up 3 a.m. and then they have to work until 7 a.m. to clean whatever the 5 or 6 block or colony have given to them. And the second person you saw that was diving into the sewer, that is the dirty sewer where all things that the craziest stuff that people consume, and that it's a dirty work. And there's no safety glasses. And I remember just about 3 years ago, one of my aunt's husband was want to go to wedding and he have to finish his job. So he was asking his headmaster that he need a time off. He said, you need to go and finish that sewers. So he was just going to do the sewers so he can go and join the wedding. Guess what? He never returned home. The minute he opened the lid of that sewers and he have to clean that, and that was his obligation. And he died with that hope to join the wedding, because inside that sewers there's a natural gas you cannot see. So after his death, now they are requiring that you have to open the lid and take a matches and throw the fiery matches and see if it's blow, then walk away because the natural gas will go out and then you dive in. So that's the second job for believers. And then many, many believers, as Pastor Gene was there, and many also in India, working at the brick kilns. Brick kilns and paying their debt every day, bricks by bricks, from morning to evening. That's another job only for believers. Why I'm sharing this, I'm so grateful to Brother Gene and Sister Nan for allowing me to share what's going on. Again, the mystery of godliness in the way that a lot of people look at is not the way they think. Sometimes the godliness is to persecute for the sake of the name that we are living for. Jesus himself was suffer because he was a godliness in human form. So anyways, that is the life of a believer in Pakistan, and I have some pictures. And sister is absolutely right. It is very difficult for a Hindu family background to come to the saving knowledge of Christ. Because many, many gods. As I remember growing up in a Hindu background home, my mother had a mother called the goddess that she was worshipping. It was a one Indian lady called Kali Ma. She's sitting on the lion and have many heads, and she is also, defender for women. So my mother used to worship her. My dad was worshipping Ram and Lakshman, which is, the biggest god, husband and wife. And I was signed to worship this monkey face, and he was a defender. His name is Hanuman. And you have seen one of sister's videos, a big tail, and he's had a cliff, whole rock. When Ram and Lakshman was, that's the background, when they were poisoned, and his master said, go and find the cure, and he could not find, being a big monkey and powerful, that demon. He just, according to their, ancient belief, he picked up the whole rock and just brought it to them and say, I don't know which one you need to use. So I was signed to be a follower of that demon. But thank God, as sister pointed, Jesus Christ is the only way. And there's no any other God that, you know, compared to Him. So that's how I became a believer. So I want to share recently what's going on in Pakistan beside the persecution. A lot of great works going on. So I think Paul will do awesome job just showing pictures. We do a lot of children ministry, and I think it is a wonderful way to get into the houses and the life of people. And that's just the map of Pakistan nearby Indian borders. And these little programs, the most significant things when people know there will be a little candy or dum-dum from America, and they highly think about America that their sugar is pure. So we bring a lot of, you know, a lot of lollipop over there to share with them. So we do a Christmas care package, and I just want to share a quick story. These are the pictures throughout the years we have done a lot of Christmas care packages. Like the kids you can see, that was one village was I was invited, and I went and I shared the gospel, and it was a fascinating fascinating truth that they never heard, that gospel is salvation is by faith alone, in Christ alone, plus nothing. And when you have that message, you are going to face into, you know, opposition all over the world. Not just in America, but all over the world. And Jean and sister can, you know, identify that. So these are the pictures of those kids, the brown skin kids. They look like a brownie, but their heart is just, you know, aching. Their heart is just, you know, trouble. But they are looking for rescue. And the only rescue found in Jesus Christ, that's my honey bunny, and I love it. When she's with me, and when she's not with me, I take a cologne, like, you know, perfume with me. So in her absence, I just, you know, put on me and remember that she's with me. And Muslim, a lot of Muslim kids come. Again, just that little gift can draw so many people. They come and they know there will be a cake. And there was a one family we were serving in the village area. The kid says, after their face was full of fresh cream and pineapple, I said, do you have ever that cake before you eaten in your life? They said, no, this is the first time. The first time we have this cake. And it was a beautiful, just, you know, just a simple common thing we just, you know, use every day. It's a yearly, occasionally, maybe in their life. So these are the children program. And this time when me and Carrie was there, it was very, very difficult. We went to the police station to register ourselves and let them know that we are in the country so they can, you know, assign a lead force. So in the area where we go, so we have some, you know, protection. So this time they said, you're not going anywhere. Here's the pile. Look it for yourself. This is the intel. We cannot let you go outside of your community. It's not safe. There's a lot of bomb blast things. There's a lot of other things. There's a lot of threats. So it's not for safe for you or both of them. You should not be here in this time. And I said, you know, we are already here. And they said, you're not allowed to go anywhere. So we got 24/7 security outside at our home, sitting and watching. But, you know, sometime you have to forsake what the government said and led by the Spirit to do the things God wants you to do. Just like, you know, in Egypt, the midwife did. When Pharaoh said, kill every child, they obey the Creator, not the Pharaoh. Peter and John, they obey Lord Jesus Christ, not the man. So it's better to, you know, obey God rather than a man. So that's what I did. Carrie, you stay home. She stayed home, and I sneak out every day and go out. And guess what? The fruit of disobedience was, you know, this time very good. It was very good. So as, you know, Jean was saying, don't do it. Sometime, you know, just Nike said, just do it. So I listened to the Holy Spirit, and I said, you know, I need to go. So Carrie was staying, and the security was watching for her. So we went out, and I went to 20 27 villages and 7 cities and over almost 1,200 packages delivered. And we got reports from so many villages and they said people never heard a clear gospel. And now there's about over 400 kids have accepted Christ, including adult. I said, praise God, that is a wonderful disobedience fruit of, you know, obedient to God. So also, you know, a lot of Bible distribution. A lot of Bible distribution. The conviction I have for the Bible, because when I became a believer, I didn't have a Bible. I borrowed Bible from the neighbor that was a cover of dust. And I used for 5-8 years, borrow Bible. I still have that, I've torn apart. It's just, you know. And then later on, I got my own Bible from my wife on my birthday. So that's why I got involved into Bible distribution. A lot of time, VOM says, you know, do you ever smuggle Bible? If you don't know how you want to smuggle Bible, contact us. And they are doing wonderful job. Bibles is the vision for every believer and unbelievers in the third world countries. Third world countries. So that's why I got involved in, you know, I said, you know, I was disobedient to my father when he was a bootlegger and, you know, hashish and heroin and all kind of, you know, shady things he was doing. By the age of 11, I was smuggling marijuana. I said, you know, that was my earthly father and took a risk. How much more I can take a risk for my heavenly father? So that's why I started smuggling Bible. And a lot of time people ask, why are you sending these Bibles to these Gentiles? Are you converting them? And I say with a cold face, I'm not converting them. I cannot convert them. Because my job is to sow the seed. The converting part is God, the Holy Spirit. So I don't lie. I just, you know, use it, my justification from the scripture. So a lot of discipleship going on. An army of believers are raised in Pakistan. And I'm eternally grateful for Gene to come to help me to understand the simplicity of salvation. Because as I was devoted with my Hindu faith and my dad was in Islam faith, sometimes I admire them because they are so dedicated for the wrong cause. How much more we should be dedicated knowing the truth. Knowing the truth that we know the universe, the savior of the universe. Sometimes I jealous and I don't find that kind of, you know, zealousness in many churches. We know the truth. We know the mystery is revealed to us. So a lot of discipleship going on in Pakistan and God is moving like a roly lion. Even persecution going on, I'm going to share some pictures. They will be hard to watch. They will be difficult to, you know, observe. But it will be worthwhile, you know, to watch, to see what is the mystery of godliness look like in a third world country. Maybe you are the poorest person in the face of the earth, but your faith is so rich. That is a mystery of godliness to live for Him alone, no matter what. Recently, they burned the home and the whole community. And I can tell the story. 96 home was burned. 9 people in one room right there. Family were burned alive. Because they were pushing them to deny Christ. To admire and accept Islam. They didn't. They die in flame for not denying Jesus Christ. Another picture. Zeeshan Masih, 14 years old, in Faisalabad, city nearby us. He was raped and hung on the tree. And then the police did nothing and says it's a natural cause. And he was persecuted because he's a Christian. Another young man, Noman Masih, on the holiest day of Islam, Friday, working to become, you know, clockmaker, sewing shalwar kameez, going to the market, and they stop and they said, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm a follower of Christ." The beating began. Without question, without explanation, they start beating him. After beating, they were not satisfied. They throw the acids and start laughing and light him up with the fire. 55% was burned, and he died a week later with the message. He said, "I forgave my persecutor." That's the mystery of godliness. Sometimes the godliness life, it don't look good to the world. Sajid Masih, by FIA, Federal Agency in Pakistan, questioning and force him to have oral sex and many other things, start beating him, and he jump for saving his life and his cousin from a four stories and end up in hospital. Why he was arrested? Because his cousin was in questioning, because somebody blame him that he have disrespect or blaspheme the law of Islam. So they were questioning him, and they were just, you know, beating him with no purpose. That is, to me, a mystery. A couple weeks Sunday, they were just coming out from Sunday service, and ISIS group start shooting and showering the bullets. Husband and son, two brothers in the same home, die. Were killed because their faith in Christ. And there's many other pictures I can show. This recent one, not even a week ago, no, maybe 10 days ago. Saima, picture holding by her father and mother. She was a beautician. She was forced to convert to Islam and deny Christianity to marry this rich man in Pakistan who have power. She said, "Never. It will never happen." So she denied the offer. She never denied Christ. And in within 5 minutes, he came back, threw the acid on her, and burned her 90% body. He said, "If I cannot have the pleasure to enjoy you, no one else will." And he burned, and then a couple days later, she died. So that is the life in, you know, in Pakistan. And I'm ever grateful I come back to tell the body of Christ, the noblest way to live, to follow Christ. The greatest way to, you know, live, to die for Christ. And the awesome way to preach, to be as a gospel of Christ. So we got a mission. We got a mission, and I want to encourage you, everyone. We don't have too much time. So we should be a Bible to our neighbor. We should be a walking gospel to our neighbors. And that is just a little stories I bring to share with you. And I'm grateful to Brother Gene. This is what is your brothers and sisters suffer for their faith. The best thing you can do, a lot of people ask me, what can we do? I said, you know, begin with prayer. Because your prayer is a wonderful weapon. A lot of Muslim coming to faith. A lot of Muslim coming to faith, and I'm not going to tell their name, but thank God, God is allowing us, and directly and indirectly, I'm working with so many. And their conviction is so strong. Sometimes, you know, here you tell somebody, "I want to follow Christ." Okay, are you willingly to follow Him? But there's a very big risk. Oh, I have a plan for 10 years. I think I will come back later. Over there, I asked this Gentile brother. I said, "Are you sure you want to follow Christ?" He said, "Yes." I said, "This can happen." He said, "I already count the cost. I know what can happen to me." And I led him on the phone to come a follower of Christ through phone, and he was an encouragement to me. that he know the cost of following Christ. So opposition, affliction, and persecution prepare a Christian or ordinary Christian to become an extraordinary servant of Almighty God. So welcome afflictions and persecution and opposition with open arms, saying, I'm ready, Lord. So that's all I got. And I will ask, please keep us in your prayer. Yes, sir.
Let them ask questions.
Yes. If you have any question, please. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, in Afghanistan, there was a guy in the middle of the nowhere. He was working, and he was contacted by one of VOM representative in the area. He said, I cannot escape this. I saw a man in a white robe, and he said, follow me. And he said, I don't know, but I know that there's a truth into. And he started talking to the local people, and they disclose his name, and they said his name is Jesus. So he became a believer. And also, this another believer I'm talking about the phone, he said, my grandmother became a Christian by same means. And I want to follow, my whole family is non-believer or Gentiles. And I want to follow Jesus. So there's a lot of things happening. I don't know if you have heard this news on a CNN or BBC or whatever, but you will never. Because in Saudi Arabia, a prince from Saudi Arabia, he saw a vision and he became a Christian. And he put that in a newspaper. You can ask Mr. Google. Yeah, a prince become a Christian in Saudi Arabia, and you will hear the whole news. And by vision, seeing Jesus, hearing about Jesus. And I was with some other conferences, and there are so many believers from Islam coming to faith in Christ because they saw Jesus. There's another video on the YouTube. Salim Akmal. He was designed to be come in America to destroy the battle of the church belt in the Alabama area. A lot of churches, they call church belt or whatever. Bible belt. Yeah, my Hebrew and Urdu opposite. You got it. So he came as a, you know, bomb blaster, and he was trained from his childhood when he was slaughtering the sheep and packing the bomb into the sheep body and then going over the border of Iran and Iraq and many others. He went to Europe and he said Europe was dead. It was easy to claim for Islam. Then he came over in USA and he said, that's a tough field. People are awake and I have to destroy them. Before he destroyed them, he ended up in an accident, and three Christians. Christians are so wonderful people of God. Took this terrorist, fed him, take care of him. 6 months later, he's questioning, facing east, saying, Allah, if you are true, why are you not answering me? Because the Christians, God, hear their prayer and heal and answer. If you are true, answer me. Before he put his Glock in his mouth to blow his brain, nothing happened. And God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob shows up in the east window, and he became a believer. That's by just, you know, one example. So there's many. You can just go on YouTube. People, Muslim people coming in faith. And there's stories. So I hope I answer your question. And I look at, I often talk to Brother Gene, I say, you know, as we, you know, talk and study the essence of God, and we sometimes trying to put, you know, God in box. Sovereignty of God. How big is the sovereignty of God? And, you know, sometimes Gene says, you know, I will rattle your cage. So, How can we put God in cage? Unbelievable, undescribable. So, yes?
Your father wasn't Hindu. He was something else.
He was in Islam. He was a Shia follower. His back, that was the other thing that broke through him. When I said, you go every year for many, many years, your head is full of knife scars. Because that was a part of his worship, cutting his head. And then also every year, your back is just, you know, have uncountable cuts. Because you devoted yourself to Ali to cut yourself every year for 10 days. And I said, I can tell you about someone who gave his head to be crowned for you. Who gave his back to be cut and pierced for you. And take your all shame. Do you want to follow someone who require blood or someone who offer his life? That was the statement I believe broke through his heart and he became a believer. Yep. So he was also the firstborn and he was involved in many things. Any other question? Yes, Amber. Most of time, I asked them and they said, you know, pray for us so we can stay strong. And the revenge is God bring them to the saving knowledge of Christ. A lot of people say that. This young boy, 17 years old, Sharun, he was only 3 days in school. Probably you have heard or read that news in the newsletter we sent out. Huh?
In high school.
In high school. From a village he went to high school, guess what? The first day he was punished to stay out of the classroom in the sun. Muslim high school, because that was his punishment because Christian. Second day he was, punched and ridiculed and disrespected and not allowed to drink water from the same faucet.
Because he didn't have a uniform, they didn't buy a uniform.
Yep. And the third day, teacher is reading the newspaper and the boys get together and start kicking him and beating him and his heart was exploded because he was so hardly he was beaten.
This
after
is a nephew from a woman in our church.
And that is a nephew of the lady that comes to our church and we went immediately and saw and his killer is now in the street and they lost his son. And their prayer was, I said, what can I pray for you? They said, please pray that what we lost, somebody else don't have to lose.
The teacher did nothing and neither did.
Yeah, neither the police, neither the teacher. He said, I was just reading the newspaper. I don't know what happened in the classroom. He was beaten so hard, as he walked out of the room, he dropped dead. Sometimes I think like David. But you know, vengeance is God. Let him take care. Sometime through the death of Abel, God still speak his devotion and his life. So all the martyrs' life is speaking the mystery of godliness, how to live. I think that's the way it could be looked at. Thank you, brother.